How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? We're coming at you live right now on your stream. Hopefully better than what's going on the Netflix stream right now. If you guys are trying to watch that fight, coming to you guys crystal clear. Come on over here, pop it off with the D-Gen Nation and try and get some action on some DFS lineups, get some builds going for Sunday's main slate while you are trying to lag around and get with that fight. But I digress. It's the D-Gen Nation podcast. Powered by the Fantasy Authority. I'm joined by the usual suspects, Mr. Maddie D. Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. And then Kevin Steele, the godfather himself. You know him at Fantasy Rat 13 on Twitter and X. I'm Ryan Williams at Ryan Alexander underscore W. And we got a week 11 main slate to break down for you guys on DraftKings. We're excited to do so. Guys, this slate is... it's juicy. I mean, Kev, I think me and you are on the same page that this is an exciting slate. Maybe we have to get Maddie to come around. And it's always scary, Maddie. You know, when you let me and Kev be on the same page, that feels gross to me. That's not something that I've been used to over the years. It's usually me and you versus the Godfather. So, try to convince you about this slate that we have coming up. But, week 11 main slate, boys, we got 11 games on the main slate. We have no island game to speak of. We got 8 in that early window, 3 in that late window. A lot of games, I do agree with Maddie, a lot of games that are looking, great to be able to watch just from, an overall football standpoint. And we'll see if we can find some fantasy goodness out of them. Only 4 teams on bye this week. Kev, I see you licking your chops over there, my guy. What are you, how are you feeling about breaking this down? Because it looks nice.
Yeah, I think there's some different areas to go to this week. I think pricing is a little loose. Like, it's not as bad tight as it was last week, I don't think. I definitely think there's some value pockets that you could attack. I think there's definitely some games that are being overlooked right now that we can look to attack. That it almost feels like a few weeks ago, with the Bengals, whenever they were on the slate against the Raiders, and everybody overlooked that game and nobody played it, and Joe Burrow went off 5 touchdowns. There's a couple of games like that, I feel like, this week that people are just overlooking this week. And so I really like this slate as a whole. I mean, there's some really healthy totals on this slate as well. So, I think there's a lot of ways you can attack this slate.
Hell yeah, Kev. I agree with you, man. And I don't agree with necessarily the pricing. I think they've done a great job yet again at, you know, making pricing a little bit tighter. We'll try and see. I know there's some injuries that we'll discuss, you know, through the show that could definitely, you know, free up some spots, but we don't have any like smash value that we had been accustomed to, you know, in the midseason. I feel like, you know, not any slam dunk plays or really guys that are too under price. I think there are some guys who definitely stand out to me as value, but, you know, kind of price corrected. But that's why we do this show. That's why we break it down for everybody. That's why we give, you know, try and give the people something to be able to build their lineups around. Guys, it's the DGEN Nation podcast here. Make sure you guys are following along. Subscribe to the channel. We appreciate all the love that we've been getting. And even if it's not love, if you guys disagree with us, come on into the chat. We like to hear that too. It's all good over here. We got the link to the Discord in the description. And we hope you guys become a part of that community because we want to hear from you. Maddie, talk to the people, man. What's going through your mind, and how are you looking to build your single lineup or your, you know, your small pool this week as you get into the week 11 main slate?
Yeah, I think I'm done trying to pay up for the quarterback thing. You know, 2 weeks in a row of going Josh Allen's just not worked out for me, and not a good spot for him here.
Dropping 15, mark it down.
Yeah, he's probably gonna nuke at home against Kansas City. You know. The one time that I don't play him, of course, but yeah, I mean, I think that game is much better from a real life perspective as opposed to fantasy. And I think that's, you know, going to be the theme across the board. And I think, you know, I personally think it's going to be a lower scoring slate. There's a lot of like decent offenses that are just in not great spots. Like, you know, the Rams are, you know, facing a what's been a bad New England defense, but traveling west to east, playing in New England's a little tough. You know, you've got Green Bay in Chicago, where Chicago's defense has played really well all year. Cleveland, you know, Jameis Winston's kind of created a resurgence in that offense. You know, they're at New Orleans, and New Orleans just shut down Atlanta last week. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that one looks fun. That's in Pittsburgh, so you know Baltimore's defense has been non-existent, but you know, hopefully Russell Wilson continues to play well because you know we've seen Baltimore's defense give up a ton of points recently. You've got Minnesota on the road at Tennessee. You know, that's kind of a gross, you know, environment for them considering they just flopped at Jacksonville last week. Jets at home against Indy. I mean, that's a fine spot. I mean, the Jets have just been bad though. You've got Atlanta traveling to Denver. I think I'd like that game more if it was in Atlanta, considering Atlanta would be able to push the pace a little bit more and be more successful on offense, but definitely some Denver pieces to like there. And then you've got Seattle, San Francisco, and Kansas City, Buffalo. It's like, there's just not really any games that scream shootout. I mean, Detroit at home against Jacksonville, they should be a lock for 35 points. No Laporta there. So, you know, it does get a little more consolidated, and you've got the Dolphins at home against Vegas as well. So there are some good, you know, good spots where, you know, there's good offenses in some good spots, but the majority of the slate, you know, it doesn't, you know, do a ton for me.
Yeah, well, let's get into it and talk about the quarterbacks, because we know the quarterback position kind of drives the lineups, drives everything, really drives the builds. And so we want to be able to talk to the people about the quarterbacks that are kind of standing out to us, you know, on this slate. And Maddie, I'll start it off, you know, with you, because I'm sure your pool's a little bit more condensed this week. I know Kev will go and wax poetic for about 25 minutes. So we definitely want to make sure that you get in and talk to the people before we fall asleep on this podcast. But, you know, for me, when we talk about the quarterback position, I think Brock Purdy will be one that people gravitate towards yet again. Brock Purdy really stood out last week on the week 10 slate, get CMC back. You know, and is able to put up a score when it's a low scoring week that, you know, you really wanted to have. I think he had, you know, maybe 25, 26 DraftKings points there. It is interesting, you know, to see how much the field is kind of gravitating towards that spot right now. We've kind of attacked, you know, game environments that include Seattle, who is coming off of the bye there. And I think that's an exciting game definitely to target. It's in that late window too. So I always find it intriguing when a chalk quarterback back is in that afternoon slate, because you have to wait through all those 1 p.m. games to get to them. We do have a condensed, kind of target share that could be available to Brock Purdy, because George Kittle popped up on the injury report this afternoon. He's questionable. So that could, really condense some things there in San Fran, which makes it interesting. I think the other quarterback too, for me, and this has kind of been weird, because I've been with you, Maddie, on like paying up for quarterback or really not going, to the lower range. And I consider that 6K or below, but there's so many options 6K or below that really do kind of stand out to me this week. I mean, you talked about it, like Pittsburgh going against Baltimore. It's a home matchup. Like Russ has been coming on a little bit late. He's 5,900, and this Baltimore defense, like we just have been targeting them all year at nauseam. So the fact that he just is coming off of a 3-score game against Washington, he's definitely interesting to me. Kind of mentioned Geno, on the opposite side of that. We know he's been able to put up some big scores there. I think even a guy like Jameis Winston, who's back on the main slate, he's 5,500. He has some very nice options to be able to pair him with. And I'm not going to play him, but I guess even a guy like Derek Carr, who comes back in the mix with, in there, and he's making Marquez Valdes-Scantling relevant again. And Alvin Kamara's gotten so much work through the passing game that you can kind of see a scenario where he could get going there in that Cleveland matchup. So there are some interesting spots this week at quarterback, which I think, makes it a lot of fun. But yes, for me, I think I do have interest in Purdy. You guys know I'm usually 3 max. I think the other two for me that I'm considering, one is Tua. He comes in at 6K. Devon Achane is expected probably to be the most popular play on the slate. I know he's been getting a lot of steam all through the week, and he's got such a great pass game, workload as of now. Tyreek Hill's banged up. Jalen Waddle hasn't really been in the mix. Jonnu Smith, basically just came out of nowhere last week. So I think, pairing Tua with Devon Achane makes a lot of sense. I know, Maddie, we've talked a lot about, Tua to be able to get to the score that you would want to need. There has to be so much volume there for him to be able to kind of pay off. But he's at 6K right now, and I feel like, if he can get some big splash plays against the Raiders, another defense that we've been targeting all along, I think I am interested in him, and I think he'll go overlooked and people just want to click on Achane. And then the other guy is Jared Goff, who finds himself back at home. He's going against the Jacksonville team. Now, we would mostly look at this as, Detroit wants to run the ball, and that's how they're going to win this game. But he, his passing volume has kind of been up there as of late. He's 6,300. There's also not going to be Sam Laporta in this game, which I'm okay with that, because I think, pairing him with like a Jahmyr Gibbs is interesting. Jameson Williams has big play upside. And this team is projected to score 30 points, like straight up on the slate implied total. And no team, is right there with them. And so if we're going to get, 30 points from the Lions, we've seen the ability for Jared Goff to get 25 DraftKings points or more a couple times this season already. I think it's a game where, it's a good leverage off of, people who might want to play the running backs only, but I think Jared Goff can get there as well too. So there's a lot of fun plays on the slate. I'm sad you're not going to talk about Josh Allen, Maddie, because I actually thought Josh Allen was kind of interesting this week. He's had great games against the Kansas City Chiefs before. It's a home game for him. I feel like he's usually been playing at Arrowhead as of late, and Kev can attest to that. But I do think that game is very interesting. Vegas has it down lower than I expected, with both these two teams implied for less than 25 points. But Maddie, talk to the people. Tell them what you're looking at this week and what's standing out to you for your builds.
Yeah, let me be clear that Josh Allen absolutely is in play this week. I probably won't get there because I typically only play one team, and I just feel the build this week with how tight pricing is, I want to pay down a quarterback. But Allen does have, any week, every week. I mean, we finally got the rushing touchdown that, we were seeking last week, right, Ryan? So, right. The upside is absolutely there. He can go for 35 in this matchup, and he's probably going to have to do it with his legs. My concern is that, without Kincaid, Mari Cooper's catching passes with a cast on, how good is that? Can that offense be with those injuries that they have? And, we see this all the time, right? Like missing one or two players, it just throws a wrench in things. We always run to play the backup that's going to step in when these starting guys are out. But in reality, it just makes the offense worse as a whole. So I'm just going to be off them. I respect the Kansas City defense. I know they're on the road. Kansas City defense is on the road here and Allen's at home, but I still think the Kansas City defense is a strong unit and you can run the ball on them. So, I think it's a spot where James Cook can get going. And I think the Chiefs are going to run the ball on the other side of the field as well. So, I actually like that it's a lower total, or I actually agree that it's a lower total because I think both teams are going to try to run the ball this game. So I think there's going to be a lot of clock running. But the two quarterbacks that I have heavy interest in are Russell Wilson and Bo Nix. Russ has looked pretty good in the three starts he's had. I mean, how perfect of two receivers, for the Russell Wilson style of deep ball are Mike Williams and George Pickens. I mean, talk about two guys that just fit what Russell Wilson is good at in terms of, throwing the ball down the field. So I think that Wilson's upside will continue to be there. He does have a little bit of rushing ability, but not as many as much as, a lot of the other guys like Lamar or even Bo Nix. But so he can get some points with his legs, but the Baltimore defense has just really been not good. And their offense has been good enough that they should be able to put up some points on the Steelers defense. We saw the Steelers finally played a competent offense last week, and that game turned into a little bit of a shootout with Washington. So, I think that game's probably one of the more likely to go a little back and forth, especially if there's big plays with, George Pickens and, Mike Williams for the Steelers. So I do like Russell Wilson. And then the other guys I mentioned is Bo Nix. I mean, we've got a game this year where Bo Nix ran 10 times for 75 yards against New Orleans. He's got 6 for 61, 6 for 36, has a couple rushing, 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns on the year, several games over 6 rush attempts. So there is rushing upside there. And the Atlanta defense is horrible. I mean, they just got eviscerated by Derek Carr with Derek Carr throwing the ball to MVS, I think that defense is really bad. And it sounds like Denver's going to switch over their running back to go to Estime. I don't even know how you pronounce his name, but so they could just end up leaning in more into Bo Nix here. Bo Nix has looked pretty good this year. In my opinion, he looked good in the preseason and he's looked pretty good in the regular season minus, weeks 1 and 2, but that Denver offense is fine. I mean, they should have beat Kansas City last week. I know Kev might disagree with me, but they played well and they probably should have won that game. And the offense looks good. I mean, Sutton's one of their better receivers makes an easy stacking partner for Bo Nix. And so, with playing Nix too, you don't really have to go crazy with stacking him because you're playing him as well for his rushing ability. So, I like Nix. I like Russ. You can talk me into some Brock Purdy, because I'll be curious to hear what you guys think about McCaffrey. Because just watching McCaffrey last week, he definitely looked like he wasn't his normal explosive self. I know he had a couple of big catches, and especially the one that was thrown up in the air. But I mean, I feel like normal McCaffrey, might have housed that. So I don't know. The volume is still going to be there, especially in the pass game. But, if that's the case, if he's not able to be as efficient as he normally is, I mean, that also lends itself into leaning more into Brock Purdy in the pass game. So, McCaffrey he wasn't good on the ground. He was good through the air. So, that helps Purdy. So I do like Purdy as well. He would probably be my third QB.
No, interesting stuff there, Maddie. Yeah, we haven't talked about Bo Nix, I feel like, in a while on this podcast. So I'm happy that you brought him up. I think, I was with you there on it's going to be interesting to see how Atlanta plays in Denver, because, we know the altitude, we kind of know that everything that goes into teams traveling to Denver, and Atlanta's played really well at home. So I'll be curious to see how they travel here, which kind of had me just not thinking about that game at all. But he has some definitely cheaper and valuable pass catchers that you can be able to play with him that definitely make it enticing. Kev, why don't you come in here, chime in here, talk to the people, let them know where your thoughts are this far on a Friday night, building for Sunday lineups and where your head's at, where you're going to be going.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think one name you already mentioned is Tua Tagovailoa, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like that, like if like how often are we not excited to play against the Raiders, who their defense arguably just an absolute mess, right? And this is exactly what I was talking about. And then like everybody just overlooked Joe Burrow, which because everybody overlooked Joe Burrow is because that offense had been struggling without T. Higgins, and then nobody was excited to play, you know, Joe Burrow, and then Joe Burrow goes off for 5 touchdowns because it's an ultimate get right spot. And we're doing the same thing. Like the same thing is happening. And when I say we, I mean just mean like in general. Like they're not drawing a ton of ownership outside of Devon Achane. And so with Tua, like he's an easy stack. And I actually think like really you can stack Devon Achane because of his usage in the passing game. I mean, he's seeing like wide receiver 2 type usage in the passing game. And so I think you can play, you know, Tua with Achane. And then if you want to, then you can pair him with a Tyreek or a. I think if you're going to play Tua, like I think he's most suitable in a double stack. And the Raiders have actually, while the Raiders haven't been great, they have been able to somewhat keep up with teams and so push teams along. And so when I look at this game, like this game has like nuclear upside. And I don't really understand why there's not more excitement on this game than there is. The Dolphins are at home. And so I get it that Tua hasn't shown or this offense hasn't necessarily been great. But you could have made the same exact argument about the Bengals whenever they played this Raiders team 2 weeks ago, right? And like that's why no one was excited about it. But this Raiders offense our defense is just not very good. And so I really love Tua in stacks with, like I said, a Devon Achane. If you want to go with Tyreek, you could do that. Tyreek, even I know last week wasn't great, but he still saw like a 24% target share. Waddle is cheap. So I think that is one avenue that you could definitely go down. And I just, like I said, I don't understand why there's not more excitement around that game or around this offense than there is with this matchup. So I think that's one way. The other way is you guys talked about Purdy. And again, it just feels like another common trend for this week is why are we not talking about the Seattle side? Like one thing that we should be looking for here is offenses that are going to throw the ball a ton. And that is exactly what this offense is going to do. This offense is third in the league in pass plays per game. The last time these two teams faced, Geno Smith dropped back for 50-plus times in that game. This is a fast-paced offense. They're third in pace of play this year. And so Geno is not expensive, $5,700. And we talk about value that's on this slate. There is zero reason that DK Metcalf should be $6,500. Like, zero reason whatsoever that he should be that cheap. He should be $7,500, not $6,500. So I think it makes it a little bit easier to stack there with him. So, like, I think these two quarterbacks, Tua and Geno, are two quarterbacks that I'm going to have a ton of exposure to. I love their situations this week. I love the game environments for both of those games. And I think they're a little bit easier to stack with. I think if you're wanting to pay down at quarterback, I do agree with Jameis. Like, this is an offense that is going to continue to throw the ball at a really high rate. The Saints' defense is absolutely cheeks. This is not a good defense. And – so when I look at this, Jameis is a quarterback that we know will chuck it, is that they will lean on the pass with Ken Dorsey calling plays. And so a $5,500 Jameis Winston, it's, again, easy stacking partners with Njoku, if you want to go Tillman. Tillman's going to be really really popular this week because he's mispriced. He should be way more expensive than $5,300. Mm-hmm. But here's another one. Reach my bag here. How about Anthony Richardson at $5,300? I get it. People are going to scoff at that immediately when it comes to Anthony Richardson, but he's $5,300. He runs the ball a ton. The Jets have actually been bad against running quarterbacks this year. They've allowed the 12th most rushing yards to quarterbacks, and they've allowed the most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks this year. And we've seen something similar to this in terms of, you know, hopefully this little break that he had, his two or three week break that he had, kind of got him to recenter a little bit. But we've seen the Jets off or Jets defense just look absolutely abysmal. Like, this defense is not the same defense that we grew expect to once Robert Saleh has left. So I don't necessarily hit, and I don't even think you have to necessarily stack somebody with Anthony Richardson, but a stack that I do like, if you're going to, would be Alec Pierce here in this matchup. Go Alec Pierce and then run it back with Garrett Wilson. But it's a really cheap stack here that I really like as well. Like I said, Anthony Richardson, $5,300. I know that he hasn't shown a ton of ceiling this year, but we definitely know that he can go off for 20 plus DK points. And at $5,300, it's hard not to like that.
I actually really like that call too, especially because the other side is so easy, right? Like you just play Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson if you're going to game stack that game. And like if Richardson gets there, I mean, if he nukes, we know he's got the big plays. We saw week one for him versus Houston. Like the other side just gets there too, because I mean, Indy's defense on the road, like, I don't know. I feel like that, like the more you talk about it, I feel like that's a game stack that I want a piece of.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting call out, Kev. The Jets have actually allowed, they're tied for the most rushing quarterback or rushing touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks with 5 on the season. They've actually given up some decent production on the ground to quarterbacks there. So yeah, it's definitely intriguing. Love the Alec Pierce call, you know, kind of a tease before the wide receivers, but he's kind of been quiet, right, all season, except for when Anthony Richardson is back there, because we know that deep ball, like that's really, Anthony Richardson can run and he can throw deep. And that's pretty much all he could do, which is great for fantasy. Like it's incredible, and he'll definitely go overlooked. So, and you talked about it, Kev. Like we've seen a benching already kind of work out this year with Bryce Young. You know, Bryce Young gets benched for Andy Dalton. He comes back in. He, you know, has a resurgence. That game was in London, but you know he was able to come back. So we'll see how Anthony Richardson could come back. But yeah, especially you know playing multi-entry, I think that's a phenomenal call out there, Kev. Yeah, quarterback's just so fun this week. I mean, there's a lot of guys who, you know, are priced down who can really, you know, get you what you need. I think there'll be one that people say, but there's really two that I would be scared of like putting up like 30 plus burgers, and that's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. You know, and Josh Allen has fewer weapons to work with against the Chiefs. We know that the emotions are going to be flying in that game because it's, you know, Buffalo and the Chiefs, and we know how those games can be. And then also for Lamar, like it's a divisional game. Like, I mean, you know, their defense has been so bad. So you got to lean on them, but Lamar's actually struggled in his career against the Steelers. Like they, you know, for whatever reason, they're able to scheme up some things to be able to contain him. Now, of course, that was before they add a guy like Derrick Henry to the mix, who I think is an interesting talking point when we get to running backs. But, you know, it is a fun slate when you think about what the high priced quarterback situations are looking like, and then you know what these cheap guys can offer from an upside standpoint. Anybody else that you guys feel like we need to hit on before we move it to running back?
I do agree with you that Lamar Jackson, like Lamar Jackson could definitely break this. I mean, he has been the best, you know, quarterback this year, whether it's fantasy or whether it's real life. Like he has been phenomenal and what he's done. His rushing upside is obviously there. I know there's going to be probably some stigmatism with this game just because it's always like a drag it out, fight it out type game environment where it's like 20-17. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the Ravens, like you guys already mentioned, the Ravens defense is so bad. They lost Kyle Hamilton, which is an even bigger blow to that secondary that they have. And so I think that game has the biggest upside to be able to do that. Yes, Lamar Jackson can definitely bury you at 8K. I'm not worried about Josh Allen at all this week doing that. And same goes with Patrick Mahomes. Like this game feels very much like it's probably going to be in the mud. The things that the Bills do the best on offense, the Chiefs are the best at on defense, right? So the Chiefs run defense has been absolutely elite this year. They're the best run defense in the league. And where that's what the Bills want to do is run the ball. So, I mean, we've seen the Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry. We've seen him shut down Saquon Barkley, but Bijan Robinson, like, over and over again, this defense has risen to the occasion this year and shut that shit down. And what worries me with the Bills side is that they are missing so many pieces to this offense that it's going to be a very much underneath, run the ball, really controlled environment here. And I think it's going to be the same thing on the Chiefs side because that is exactly what the Bills defense wants to do is keep everything underneath. They're not going to allow any big explosive plays. And that's just what this game feels like. It feels like it's going to be a little bit gross. It feels like it could be like a 24-20 type game. And so, like, I don't mind some pieces from this game for sure. Like, there's definitely, like, a mini stack here and there that I definitely will want access to. But I'm not really worried about this game going nuclear or anything like that. Like, I don't think this game has that kind of upside. Like I said, there's some pieces that I want, but I don't see it as a path to it being, like, a really high-scoring game.
Yeah. I agree with that. The one other guy, I guess, just looking briefly before we move over to running back that you've actually brought up a couple times, Kev, this year is Drake May, who, you know, comes in. I think, you know, that game is interesting to me just from the standpoint of, like, you know, I'm very interested in the Cleveland side of things. So naturally I'm going to look at the other side and, you know, cheap pass catchers, one who, you know, is jumping off the page incredibly because of the work he's been utilizing. That's Kayshon Boutte or Booty, however you say his name. He's 3,500. I think he's going to be very popular this week. Interesting stacking option for him. And then we, you know, bring back options, I think, you know, are pretty clear on the Cleveland side. So just interesting there. He's got rushing upside. I know you've kind of alluded to him, Kev, and they're back at home here. So could be a, you know, decent spot for him to get going. Let's talk about running back though. Running back, I feel like is where the slate is going to be made or broken for people. And just because of how top heavy the ownership is coming in on these top guys, we got Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Kyren Williams, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Devon Achane. Like, just in a row, those are your top priced running backs this week. Like, these are guys who let's take out, I guess, Jonathan Taylor, and to an extent, I guess, Breece Hall. But like, these other six guys have been guys that we've tried to jam in our lineups like all year long. Like Kyren Williams, this dude was scoring a touchdown every week, is completely being forgotten about, comes in at 7,900. Like, he's just going to be overlooked. Derrick Henry, you know, it's tougher matchup, I guess, on paper for him in Pittsburgh, but like, you know, we know what he can do in neutral skip games, or, you know, if Baltimore is able to get out to a lead here, like we know what he's capable of. He's 8,100, and I feel like every team is going to start with Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, we know what his workload has been. He's 8,200. Like, he's been so involved. The opportunity share is absolutely incredible. It's at home, but you know, this is a Cleveland defense that is definitely, you know, being able to stifle guys. They could get after Derek Carr. They could make life a little bit harder on the Saints than I feel like the field's expecting. And you know, he supposed to smash against Atlanta last week, right? Like, that's what everything was jumping off the page. And he goes out and puts up 15.9 points, you know, on DraftKings. Like, we definitely know that there's a floor that exists with Alvin Kamara. Christian McCaffrey, you know, he's going to be popular because he, for the price at 8,300, like, what his opportunity is telling you, it feels like there is an upside there too. And you know, Maddie, I hear you. Like, he didn't look as explosive as, you know, as we're accustomed to seeing. And obviously with the Achilles injuries, like, we have to think that that would be the case. But, you know, 20 opportunities just right off of the street, quote unquote, like in his first game back, you know, being able to see seven targets, it's clear that they want to, you know, work them in and get them going on limited touches. It's, you know, I guess 20 opportunities is limited. But, you know, I think the other interesting thing was that, you know, Mason and Grindo were not involved at all. And if we have a situation where George Kittle is going to be out, like, where the hell is the ball going to go? Like, you know what I'm saying? It could just be him. I will say my favorite San Francisco is a wide receiver, a 49er who I want to play. But I can understand why people want to play Christian McCaffrey. He's also on that late slate. So people will have that PMR remaining to get there. But, you know, there are some interesting, Devon Achane is going to be, you know, top three price, you know, however you want to rank him between CMC and Kamara. He's 7,200. He's just absolutely underpriced for what his role is in this offense. He's clearly like the first read guy for Tua. Like, they want to just give this dude the ball and opportunity whenever they can. Raheem Mostert has not been the thorn in our side that he had been in previous years, where he was, you know, being able to get worked in. Like, it's just Devon Achane's world and we're living in it. So he's absolutely one of my favorite plays. I do think it's interesting, you know, to get to Jahmyr Gibbs on a slate like this. Again, you know, Detroit's expected to score 30 points. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs has been, you know, just as integral in his offense, I feel like, which has other explosive weapons as well, too, as Devon Achane. And he's just $100 more. It's a home game against Jacksonville. Like, absolutely incredible spot for him. And Breece Hall comes in at 7,500. You know, he wasn't able to get as involved last week because the Jets are ass and they were playing from behind in a game where people were all on the passing game. But what he's able to do with the opportunities is great. Braylon Allen, you know, has not been able to, you know, get in there and spell him. So I feel like if this is a game where they can control on the other side, and we know, like, as you know, as exciting as it is to be playing Anthony Richardson, he does have the propensity to turn the ball over. So maybe the Jets are getting short fields there. They definitely, you know, need some wins. So they have to start trying to control their destiny. And I think there's just so many interesting pivots, you know, at the top end. Excited to hear your guys' thoughts. Just real quickly, as we go through, you know, the mid-range, I don't think it's going to be jumping out on the page all too much. But, you know, two of the guys who stand out to me are Ramondre Stevenson at 6,100 and then Kareem Hunt at 6,700. This could be the last time that we get, you know, Kareem Hunt being the lead back there as Pacheco, you know, could be worked back in. And it's actually a good matchup on paper against Buffalo, you know, giving up rushing production to these guys. We know in neutral game scripts, at least it seemed, and, you know, Kev, you're the resident KC guy, that it seems like they want to be able to run the ball, you know, in neutral game scripts and be able to, you know, establish it there. And this is a road matchup for them. They're going to be in a hostile environment. Like, I think they just, you know, want to keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands potentially. Can get Kareem Hunt involved, and he's been great with his opportunities. And Ramondre Stevenson has just had, you know, opportunity workload that's been strong. It is frustrating to see, you know, the red zone, you know, the Patriots need to get to the red zone in order for him to be able to score these touchdowns. Had a disappointing game against the Bears, but really we're just controlling that game. It was an ugly game all around, but we know what his upside brings. And just hilarious to think that they benched him for Antonio Gibson earlier this year, when we see what the talent is on paper. But I'm not really into a lot of guys in that range, in the six under 7K and below. So, you know, talk to me, guys. What's jumping out to the page of you and how you're attacking this position? Maddie, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, if you trust coach speak, I mean, the new starting running back in Denver, right, is 4,500. But I mean, again, you're taking a leap of faith by trusting that, you know, cause they still have Javonte Williams and they still have McLaughlin. So, you know, it very well could just be a three-man committee. But I mean, supposedly, Estime is going to get, you know, the majority of the work, but so he's 4,500, but I think all the guys, like you mentioned, Ryan, all the guys at the top, they all have, you know, massive ceilings here. Like, I mean, if you believe that, you know, McCaffrey's in good enough shape that he can catch 10 targets, which he absolutely can, his big thing is he's going to have to score two touchdowns to really hit a ceiling, which he absolutely can do that as well. So, you know, he's totally fine at 8,300. I mean, he's priced down from, like, just like you guys were saying last week, he's priced down from, you know, what he normally is, which I guess is bakes in some of the risk. But I mean, if he's going to see, you know, 7 to 10 targets, he saw 7 in his first game back, you know, like he's definitely in consideration. Breece Hall, you mentioned, Ryan, 7,500 against the Colts at home. If you're playing Anthony Richardson, I think Breece Hall is a must play personally. His workload is too good. That offense is so consolidated. And I know last week he didn't really have a big workload, but as you pointed out, Ryan, you know, that was more of a blowout. And I think, you know, Braylon Allen started to mix in, and that's not really how that team has handled that running back rotation ever since the coaching change. So I expect Breece Hall to get rolling in this game. So I do like him a lot. I don't know how you don't play one of the two Lions guys on every team, considering the Lions are going to score 35 plus points. I mean, Jacksonville's right. Defense is probably the worst defense in the NFL. They're really bad. So it's, yeah.
Unless they're playing Sam Darnold.
Unless they're playing Sam Darnold. Yeah, that was just a blip on the radar. But I mean, this is the Lions team at home. Goff just threw a record of interceptions, but yet still somehow won the game, you know, against Houston. I think the Lions are going to come out and just establish the run. They're just going to pound Monty and Gibbs over and over and over, and they're going to win by 30. So I really like one of those two. I mean, Monty's 6,500 and Gibbs is 73. And we talked about this, you know, earlier in the year. You can play both of them together because through like week 6 or 7, you know, both of them scored, you know, 18 plus every single week. So I like Monty personally just because he's 800 cheaper and definitely has two touchdown upside. But I mean, Gibbs has the same two touchdown upside, and Gibbs is probably more likely to go for 100 plus yards. So I like both of those guys. I love the Achane call. I feel like, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, it's like he's projected to score, you know, not as many points as he should be every single week, which is crazy because he's like one of the best fantasy running backs in the league with Tua in the lineup. So I think he's going to be popular, but probably not popular enough. I mean, he's smashed. We've just said just play him the last 2 weeks, and he's smashed both weeks. And this is another spot you just play him. So I really like Achane as well. So those are going to be the guys that I'm keying in on. I agree with you, Ryan. Unless you're going to take a flyer on the Denver situation, I think, you know, Monty is probably the cheapest I would go at 6,500.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's just not a lot that stands out, and I'm sure projection models will probably say as such, you know, when these guys who are priced 7K and above are just, you know, probably projected around no less than 18, you know, points to the 22-23 point range. And that's just, you know, we want to get as many guys who have the upside to score 30 points on our teams. And, you know, these are the spots I think that we're looking at. Kev, talk to the people and tell them where you're coming in at on running back this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, over talk. I definitely 1,000% think, I think the most popular is going to be having McCaffrey and Achane. I think those two, combo is going to be the most popular you're going to see on most every single game. I'll say this. I don't really like Kamara this week. Cleveland's actually been really good for the most part against running backs. They've shut down Saquon. They shut down Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry did score a touchdown against them, but like it still wasn't his typical Derrick Henry type day. Obviously, Kamara can get there through the passing game, but overall, Cleveland's been a decent run defense so far this year, and so I don't necessarily love that at its price. And then you have the Taysom Hill effect at times too, but Kyren Williams is absolutely phenomenal play here in this spot because the Rams run defense has actually been really good this year. And so I don't really see a path too much for the Patriots to be able to run the ball, but I absolutely love this spot. I think they can build a lead, and Kyren Williams at $7,900, you know, could easily go for, you know, three touchdowns in this game. Like, I mean, obviously that's the super high end, but I think 100 yards and a score is definitely well within the range of possibilities for him in this spot at $7,900. So I really like Kyren Williams' cost. Jonathan Taylor actually is you want Anthony Richardson in the lineup for him. He's actually averaged over 5 yards per carry with Anthony Richardson this year, and he scored all five of his touchdowns with Anthony Richardson in the lineup. He scored zero touchdowns with Joe Flacco, and his yards per carry drops to like 4.3 or 4.4, something like that. So this is actually a really good spot for Jonathan Taylor as well here at $7,900. $7,600. But Jonathan Taylor, I think, is in play. You can run on the Jets, the Jets defense as well. So Jonathan Taylor, I like him as well. One that I was surprised at, Maddie, I know you didn't bring him up, but it's Josh Jacobs. You know, we've talked about this Bears defense, their Bears run defense, but Josh Jacobs is a little bit frustrating because of the way they utilize, but he's still averaging around 17 to 18 carries per game, only an 8% target share. As we talked about, this Bears defense has been absolutely dreadful. They've allowed an explosive run on 6.4% of carries, which is 7th highest rate in the league. They have a stuff rate of just 34%, which is the 3rd lowest rate in the league. And then you have, so I think there's a lot to like here. They've also allowed 142 rushing yards per game over their last four, over a touchdown per game over their last four. So Josh Jacobs, I think, is a really strong play here. You know, he's not overly expensive at $7,100 compared to some of the other higher price guys. I think Kenneth Walker is interesting. The last time these two teams played, they absolutely peppered Kenneth Walker with targets. I think he had like 10-plus targets in that game, 8 catches. I think he scored a couple touchdowns as well, but he had a really solid game. He's 7K. So I think you can look there. Now, I do have a running back that I will say that I have not been on all year, that I've absolutely hated, I have not been excited about. But is this a week we could play him? And that's Nick Chubb. And so I totally get with Nick Chubb. But the thing is, like, so if you look at his production, he hasn't really done shit. But he's also had just two straight, just absolutely brutal matchups. Baltimore is an absolute elite run defense this year. Same with the Chargers. There are two of the best run defenses in the league. And this is by far the best matchup that he's going to get. I mean, the Saints have been absolutely torched on the ground. Over their last six games, they have allowed 170 rushing yards per game and 11 touchdowns to running backs. Every single metric that you look at, they are at the bottom of when it comes to run, stopping the run. I get it with Nick Chubb, but at the same time, like, I think that, like, at 6K, this is very well could be, like, he is getting all the running back touches. He's not seeing a lot of pass catching work, but I think that you can see that he gets, you know, 17 to 18 carries in this game. I think he has the opportunity to go over 100 yards and score a touchdown here. Again, I know he hasn't looked phenomenal. He's has like a 3.5 yards per carry or something like that so far. But real-
how do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Really, really bad matchups for him to start. This is like the best one we've seen. I'm not really worried about the Saints like running away with anything. Actually, I really low-key love, we haven't got to it yet, but the correlation of Nick Chubb and the Browns defense. The Browns defense is $2,600 because really, if you know, if for him to get there, you know, you probably need the defense to, you know, come along as well for that, because obviously they can't fall behind or anything like that for Nick Chubb to really be able to pay off the cost. So 6K Nick Chubb, if you're looking for a cheaper running back, I know that's not super cheap, but as this pertains to the slate, 6K, and then you pair him with Saints defense, you know, for correlation.
Yeah, interesting call out there, Kev. I think it definitely warrants some merit, because I do think that, you know, Jameis Winston, Cedric Tillman, you know, the pass catchers for Cleveland will get steamed. I'm not saying they'll be, you know, the most popular plays on the slate, but I think that'll be an interesting steam environment. Bring backs on the Kamara side, and, you know, it's Nick Chubb. And, you know, I think the biggest thing about that is he's had a couple games under his belt. Granted, they are tough matchups, but now that he gets, you know, a matchup that you're saying, Kev, that's, you know, enticing on paper, this could be, you know, it's not like he's just coming back fresh and trying to run against these guys. He's got his legs under him now, so he could definitely get there at 6K. That's an intriguing call-out spot. Let's talk about wide receivers, boys. Wide receivers fun. I think that the way the slate's presenting itself here on week 11, and guys who are listening in, we appreciate you guys rocking live with us. It's the DGEN Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority, breaking down the week 11 main slate for Sunday for you guys. And we're talking wide receivers now. And with the way that the slate shapes up from running back, I do feel like we'll see a ton of builds that build around three running backs, right, to have that running back in the flex. And not really from a wide receiver standpoint. And, you know, it makes it tough. You know, you got Jefferson at the top, who just disappointed against, you know, Jacksonville, you know, tied directly to Sam Darnold, but we know exactly what he can do. The Tennessee defense has actually, you know, been pretty stellar about containing wide receivers, so not a great matchup for him on paper. But if there are injuries in the Tennessee secondary, that'd be something that we want to keep in mind. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I mean, you know, the guy's an elite wide receiver. Like, I don't think anybody's going to argue that, but at 8K against Jacksonville, when, you know, the team's double digit favorites, he's such a volume guy that, like, you got to really stack the game environment in order for that to really make a lot of sense. You got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua there. I mean, Puka Nacua actually, you know, at 7,300, I think is interesting because he's just been so heavily involved, and Matt Stafford has leaned on him so much to get him going. You know, it seems like Kupp is kind of that second read there, and Puka's the first one. He's definitely a target hog, coming off of double digit targets against Miami. Even, you know, that Seattle game, I think he got ejected in that game, if I'm not mistaken, which is why you see his production so low. But you know, Puka's been awesome, and we haven't had him on the main slate in a while, so he's an intriguing guy at target. Tyreek Hill, you know, I definitely want to play Tyreek Hill. He's 7,400. You know, I don't think a lot of people are going to click on him, but he makes a lot of sense with HN. You know, even pairing those guys together just to get all the points from Miami. You know, Miami's got a healthy implied team total right around 26. He's, you know, dealing with a wrist injury, but we know that he has the ability to put the slate out of reach anytime he's on it, and the people just aren't on him this week. And so that always makes me intrigued, especially if I'm going to play two, obviously have to have consider Tyreek. Garrett Wilson, you know, 7,100, so frustrating that he didn't, you know, get there last week, but I think it's another prime spot for him. I'm definitely way more intrigued to play him than Davante Adams, who's actually more expensive. And I just don't understand that at all. Even if it's $100, like Garrett Wilson has definitely looked better. And then George Pickens is going to round out your 7K guys and above. George Pickens is in the absolute smash spot. When I opened up the app earlier this week, guys, I was like, I don't even know if I really want to play George Pickens because he's 7K, but like, he's also just 7K, and what could be the nuts matchup of the week? I mean, this Baltimore secondary has been absolutely gashed by big plays all year, and I believe they're going to be without Kyle Hamilton, if I'm not mistaken, for this game. So, you know, that safety being out just opens up a lot more. If we're chasing 30-point upside, then, you know, I think Pickens is the guy that you got to look to for that. A lot of good value at receiver on the slate, you know, kind of alluded to it in the running back spot, but you know, Kashawn Booty, this the work that he's been getting there in New England, looks like the primary guy for Drake May. He's 3,500. He's going to stand out. No Dalton Kincaid for Buffalo. Khalil Shakir is probably going to pop in every projection model that there is. I expect him to be the chalk at wide receiver. He's 6,300, but he's going against Kansas City, who's actually been stiff against wide receivers. That definitely is not a spot where I'm interested to play. Cedric Tillman, he's been off of the main slate for a little bit. He's only 5,300. Like, it's tough because he was just whatever it was, like 3,400 or 3,500 not too long ago. And now he's 5,300, but he still feels like underpriced for what his role is and what he's got going on with Jameis Winston. And then also for me, I talked about it, my favorite San Francisco play this week is probably going to be Juwan Jennings. I was already loving him at 5,300, and that was before George Kittle was going to be ruled out. He's just been so heavily involved in the team structure there, taking on, you know, a new role with Brandon Ayuk being out of the offense, and you know, he's not being priced up as such. He's only 5,300. If George Kittle was to miss, like, he'd be an absolute slam dunk play for me, and definitely great one-off play there. I think there's definitely some interesting cheap spots that, you know, we'll definitely talk about with the people, but Maddie, I'm going to loop you in and let me know where your head's at for wide receiver this week.
Yeah. We mentioned the Indy Jets game. Garrett Wilson's hard to not click this week. You know, he's been their alpha, even with Davante Adams over there. Had 30 points 2 weeks ago, you know, has several points, games over 25, including a 32 burger early in the year in week five against Minnesota. It's just a really good spot if you think that game is going to score a lot of points. I mean, the Jets are so consolidated on offense that, you know, you play Breece, you play Garrett Wilson, especially if you're playing Anthony Richardson. So I love Garrett Wilson at 7,100. He'd probably be my favorite pay up receiver. Outside of that, I mean, I'm pretty much going to live in the mid range. I don't know that I'm going to pay up for anybody else outside of maybe George Pickens if I was playing Russell Wilson, or Tyreek if I was playing Tua. Zay Flowers at 6,900, I think he's a little underpriced. He's right near that 7K mark. He is absolutely smashed this year, and they may need him against that Pittsburgh defense. That may be how they offset Pittsburgh's pass rushes, a lot of quick passes to Zay. We've seen him have a ceiling. That was something Zay didn't have last year, was a ceiling. We've seen his ceiling out of Zay this year. So I do think that 6,900 is a fair price for him, and he's going to be virtually unowned. I'm seeing 1%. So I do like Zay. Like, a Zay Pickens mini stack is a very, you know, fun way to play this slate this weekend. You mentioned Courtland Sutton, 5,900. Absolutely love that at home against Atlanta. He's smashed the last 3 weeks. Him and Bo Nix are starting to figure it out together. Agree that Cedric Tillman is way underpriced at 5,300. His role in that offense is the wide receiver one since Amari Cooper was traded. Pretty much has 20 DK points in all 3 weeks since. 5,300 is just too cheap against that New Orleans defense there on the road in the dome. Jacoby Myers is another one that's, you know, just kind of taken over after, you know, an alpha getting traded. Since Davante Adams has been traded, Myers has, you know, consistently flirted with that 20 DK point mark as well. He's only 5,600, so a lot to like in that 5 to 6K range there with Myers, Tillman, and Sutton in there. And then outside of that, I mean, if you're not playing Tillman, or if you're playing Winston, you can also look to Elijah Moore. I mean, Moore's been the wide receiver two in that offense, has 9, 12, and 7 targets in those three games that Amari Cooper has missed. In that 12-target game against Baltimore, he had 8 for 85, which was good for 17 DK points. I would 100% prefer Moore over Keyshawn Booty this week. So I think Booty's ownership is going to get out of control. Not to say Moore won't be popular because people need value, and he's probably one of the better options. But I just think that, you know, 4,300 for him, again, with Jameis Winston throwing the ball, and as Kev mentioned, the Saints defense isn't great, even though they did kind of shut down Atlanta's offense last week. But that's pretty much it for me. Like, nothing, like, again, this goes back to the top of the show where, you know, I mentioned that I just don't love a lot of pass games this week.
Right.
It's more running backs for me. So I'm going to find myself paying up as much as I can at running back, and then jamming in this mid, like, 5 to 6K range at receiver.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think running back is going to make or break. But, you know, getting wide receivers who are just, you know, underpriced, undervalued, and just not owned, is going to be able to help separate as well, too. Kev, come in here and talk to the people on what you're doing at wide receiver this week.
Well, first thing I want to say is, one, I completely agree with you about Puka Nacua at his cost, $7,300. I think this is much more of a Puka Nacua game than it is a Cooper Kupp type game. The Patriots have actually been really, really good against slots this year. They have allowed almost the fewest fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. They have been bad against outside wide receivers, so obviously that sets up really well for Puka, who runs primarily, you know, on the outside and doesn't really play a ton from the slot. I think he runs about 19% of the routes from the slot, not a whole lot. So I do think that there's a lot of merit there to that call of Puka Nacua. Somebody that had some. Now, the biggest question mark I have is this, is you brought up George Pickens. I completely agree with you about George Pickens. George Pickens has the ceiling to go 30 plus. Like, he is the perfect pairing. This offense has been terrible. You know, I'm not saying that he's going to be able to do what Jamar Chase did, but like the upside is certainly there for 100 plus and 2 scores. Like, he should have even more touchdowns than he already has. But he's had some called back to penalty. He had the one where he didn't get both feet down. But George Pickens is not getting as much love as he should. Like, George Pickens has been an elite wide receiver this year. Like, if you look at his, like, a lot of his advanced numbers, like, he is top 5 in yards per out run. He's top 5 in yards per pass attempt this year. He is seeing a ton of work inside the red zone. Like, this is a smash spot for George Pickens. The question I have, though, is, like, if you were going to play George Pickens, how do you not play Russell Wilson in a stack there? Because I don't see a scenario where Pickens goes off that he doesn't, that has to go with Russell Wilson. I just don't see that as a scenario. So to me, I think either you play a Russ stack with George Pickens or you don't play George Pickens, because I don't see that the path where George Pickens or Russell Wilson doesn't get there.
I mean, that's fine. But if you're playing a guy like Anthony Richardson, he can get there as well, that for a cheaper price than Russ, you know, would be my argument. Like, it's like, sure, yes, I agree that, you know, Pickens goes 7 for 125 and 1 or 2 touchdowns. I mean, Russ is probably throwing for, you know, close to 300 and 2 to 3. And he gets there. But I mean, Anthony Richardson can run for 80 and, you know, 80 and 2 scores on the ground and all. And he's matching Russ without any pass production. So, like, I guess it's, you know, I agree. I still think that you can play him without him.
Yeah, and I mean, we're still on wide receivers, so I want you to wax poetic to the people, Kev. But, like, if I'm playing Russ and Pickens, I'm probably playing Mike or Calvin Austin. Yeah,
Calvin Austin's $3,600. Really good cheap play. Yeah, part of a stack. Yeah.
I mean, because, like, I want to have outs on, you know, having Russell Wilson being able to make the big plays, but they don't all go to George Pickens necessarily.
I definitely think it would be a part of it, like a double stack or a game, like a total game stack, right? Of this game, like saying, hey, okay, this game's going to go nuclear. I'm going to go on the cheaper side of it because, you know, the Ravens stack's going to be more expensive. You could have a run back with Zay. Zay's in an incredible spot here with what the Steelers tend to do on defense. They run cover 3 at like one of the highest rates in the league, and Zay Flowers has smashed cover 3 this year. So
Hello. Would
Zay be your guys' favorite run back on?
Oh, absolutely.
It's between Zay and Rashad Bateman. I think Rashad Bateman, obviously price involved is a big difference between price, but
sure.
I like Rashad Bateman as one-offs as well. But the Steelers also run a ton of single high safety, and Zay Flowers has absolutely nuked that this year. So we'll see kind of how this plays out. But I do think Zay Flowers is in a great spot at $6,900. I really like him as well. But I just wanted to bring that up as far as it went with George Pickens, because it just, like, for me to be able to see a path where he crushes and he has that have to have it score, I just don't know. It's possible that, you know, you can have other quarterback plays in there, but it just would also feel like, because it eliminates other spots, right? It makes it easier that you only now need to get a few other spots right if you nail it with the Russell Wilson and George Pickens stack versus playing him, you know, naked by himself or without Russ. But anyways, already mentioned, really loved DK Metcalf as well. $6,500, just too cheap for the upside that he possesses. I mean, he's had some really big games this year. He's missed a few weeks. He's also been absolutely peppered with targets this year as well. A ton of targets. He saw 11 targets the last time the UC team played. But $6,500, I completely agree with you about Shakir. The Chiefs have actually allowed the fourth most points to slot wide receivers this year. They've been much better against outside wide receivers. Inside wide receivers is where they've been got. Also goes with the trend of tight ends, as well as where they've really struggled this year. They have lost some of their corner help, so they're out there running on UDFAs, Josh Williams, stuff like that at corner. But so I do think, you know, with Shakir, though, it's tough because he doesn't provide a big ceiling, right? I think he's a
he's too expensive too.
Yeah, and he, like, I guess if he were to find the end zone, because he's only found the end zone twice this year, but, like, his average depth of target is really bad. Like, I mean, his average depth of target's like 6 or something like that. Like, he's just eating up a lot of the short stuff, yards after the catch is, you know, where he's coming through. But at $6,300, like, I don't think you have to get there. But I will say the matchup is really good. I think if I had to make a decision, I would just play Dawson Knox at $3,500. But I also would imagine he's also going to be extremely popular as well, just because of how cheap he is. Yeah. The 5K range, completely agree with you about Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers seeing a 30%+ target share within this offense. We'll see how this offense looks now, because obviously they got rid of you know, their offensive coordinator, which never should have been hired in the first place. So now we get Scott Turner, and then North Turner came off the couch to come help this team coach. So I think you can look there. What we talked about in terms of pricing, there's no reason Juwan Jennings should be $5,300. Just zero reason. That is a blatant misprice for a player who's coming off a game where he had 11 targets, 793. You know, if he would have scored a touchdown, you know, it would have been another 20+ performance. We've seen the ceiling with this dude at 49, you know, 49 points. That's just incredible to me. I have no clue how this dude's $5,300. It should not be. That is a glaring
five-play wide receiver.
So
great. Sweet spot.
It's sweet, yeah.
Yeah. Alec Pierce, I don't mind him. Like I said, you know, Anthony Richardson, you know, if he does one thing well, it's throw the deep ball. Alec Pierce has kind of been the guy that has gone off whenever he, you know, he has been able to complete passes. So I do like that. In terms of, I already mentioned Rashad Bateman, don't need to go much more into that, but really do like, I don't mind him as well as a cheaper option. And then, you know, we already mentioned it, but as part of a stack, like Calvin Austin, you know, I think Kayshon Booty is going to carry some ownership, which is absolutely ridiculously stupid to me. Like, there's not a lot of excitement there that I would want to play him at cost. I mean, I know he's $3,500, but it just feels very chasey to me. Like, if I'm going to play somebody, like, I think Calvin Austin, who's seeing, you know, 4, 5, 6 targets, you know, pretty much a week, I would rather do that if I was going to play a really cheap wide receiver. Also, you know, the guy we talked about, I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I can't remember what it was, but Curtis Samuel. I think it was last week, right? Yeah, it was last week. He had 8 targets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just didn't do a whole lot after that. But I mean, with so many players out, so many wide receivers hurt, and so many just pass catchers here, Curtis Samuel, I think, is also, once again, $3,300, I think, is in play.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel at $3,300, that's absolutely crazy. I was actually, as we were talking it through, like looking at Shakir, and Matt Collins has been involved too, you know, at $3,800. I don't know why you would build a lineup and take a chance on Shakir at $6,300 as a one-off as opposed to like these cheaper guys. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I do like Khalil Shakir. Like, I think he's outstanding. I think I think it was a great option for them to move on from Stephon Diggs when they have him sitting there in the wings. But like, it just screams that like you need, he's kind of like Amon-Ra St. Brown to me. Like, I can't play Amon-Ra separate from Jared Goff, you know, in situations like they need volume in order to succeed. And like, if Shakir's putting up 30, then like, what's Allen putting up? Like, he's going to be smashing. So it makes it tough. I like those one-off receivers more on Buffalo. And yeah, the Curtis Samuel call is definitely great at 3,300. One guy that I wanted to touch on real quick is, you know, Calvin Ridley at 6,200, you know, in this Tennessee Minnesota game. There's not a lot that stands out on the page to us boys, but like, Minnesota, their defense has been allowing a ton of wide receiver production. I think they allow the third most DK points, you know, per game on the season. And Calvin Ridley has really, you know, kind of stepped up over the past couple of weeks with target totals of 9, 15, 8, and 9, 2 25-point burgers in that span as well, too. Like, he definitely has been a catalyst of this offense as of late, and could, you know, maybe go overlooked, or maybe he'll catch some steam. Maybe some sharps will be on him. But I think, you know, he's $100 cheaper than Khalil Shakir, and I think offers a bigger upside. So definitely wanted to bring him up as well. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff to be had at the wide receiver position. So it definitely makes a fun build. And honestly, that's why you're going to see so many of these, you know, 7K and above running backs, you know, being able to, you know, get into lineups, because we have, you know, a ton of value to be able to get to on the wide receiver position. I guess, you know, I started off with saying there wasn't a lot of value this week, but I guess, you know, Kev, you're shaking your head for good reason, because there is some fun spots to be able to target this week, which makes it that much more enticing. Go ahead, Kev.
Well, the only thing I was going to say, the one I forgot about was DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if you guys mentioned him, but I do want to mention him. Yeah. I think he's in play. You know, it wasn't as good of a matchup last week in Denver, but this week I think it pays off a little bit more. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't great either. But I do think at $5,700, I think that is still incredibly too cheap for the upside that he brings. I know Juju Smith-Schuster is supposed to be back for this game, but I really don't care about that. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to continue to run the same type of underneath routes that we saw from Rashee Rice. And I think, again, as he gets more and more involved in this offense. And then you really want to attack the Bills, you know, from the slot. Like, that's really where you're looking to attack them. You can also attack them. They've struggled a little bit more on the outside recently. Earlier in the year, it was a little bit more of a funnel there to the slot, but it's still a very good slot matchup for them. So I do like DeAndre Hopkins as well. $5,700 is a little bit too cheap as well.
Love it. Yeah. Hey, no idea why Worthy's priced right around him as well, too. But yeah,
definitely. This dude should be in the 3K range. Like, he has been absolute dog shit. Like, and he's they're just not looking for him anymore. Like,
yeah, they're carrying that first game against Baltimore, all that equity has just been carried for his price tag all season long.
And that was just off the back of two touchdowns. I mean, he had three targets in that game, but right. You know, it's just, he just hasn't been very good. So like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a game here at some point where he does catch a 50 yard touchdown or something like that.
It'll be this game for sure.
But it's just not $5,600. I just don't understand why he continues to be so expensive.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah, let's talk about tight end boys. And, you know, I think it has some interesting merit. We actually haven't talked about Green Bay and Chicago, you know, at all this so far this podcast. And, you know, I think Green Bay definitely has some merit to be able to put up points. And a reason I bring it up is because I saw Tucker Kraft's name here, and he's, you know, definitely been worked in. So it's interesting. You know, it's hard to justify where the ball is going to be going for with Jordan Love, but you know, definitely can put up some points against the Chicago team. But let's start at the top here. Travis Kelce, 6,300. You know, he's definitely caught on as of late. He's been absolutely incredible. And, you know, we're used to seeing Travis Kelce priced way up above this, you know, 7K range and above on previous seasons when he's, you know, been getting double-digit targets, 12 or more in three straight games. Definitely has caught on and, you know, absolutely – Love him to be able to still be getting going here at 6,300. If you want to take a shot on him, mention George Kittle. He's been on the injury report. He's questionable to go. And that game is, I believe, yeah, it's in the late window. So we're hoping to get some clarity, you know, heading into, you know, maybe Saturday night or, you know, when Adam Schefter's Sunday inactives list comes out on Sunday. But that's going to be a, you know, one thing to monitor as we're building for our late lineups as well. Brock Bowers has been, you know, he's kind of fallen off as of late, I guess, but, you know, just the consistency with him has definitely warranted the price tag that he comes in at 5,800. I do think that there's some merit to taking a shot on Bowers into a, you know, or just game environment stacks with Miami and the Raiders. There's such a concentrated offense between him and Jacoby Myers that to be able to get these guys in on guys who aren't that expensive on Miami makes for a really interesting game stack to me. We've alluded to it all show, but, you know, the value of the week is going to be Dawson Knox, who comes in at 3,500, kind of been forgotten about how much, you know, Josh Allen had leaned on Dawson in the past. He's only 3,500. He's very cheap. No Kincaid being out there. I feel like he's definitely going to get work. It's, you know, a guy that he'll be popular, but a guy that, you know, you just want to start your builds in with. I'm reminded of the Cade Otton week, and, you know, he doesn't have as much of pass catching chops, I don't believe, as Cade Otton does. But, you know, we've seen games in the past where it was just Dawson Knox and he absolutely was able to smash, and Kansas City, you know, gives up some production to tight end. So I feel like that's interesting as well. You know, outside of these top guys, and you know, David Njoku, I guess you could talk me into, and Jameis Led Stacks, Evan Ingram's interesting, you know, on the other side of that Detroit game where a lot of points are projected to be scored. And maybe like Mark Andrews at 4,600. I could be talked into, but really there's not a lot that stands out to me at tight end this week, which, you know, lends me to pick at Knox, and I'm fine to be able to take that chalk because I expect my lineups to be different elsewhere. Maddie, what's jumping off the page to you? I'd really love to be able to get up to a high price tight end, but, you know, I'm just going to let the builds dictate it for me.
I don't think you need it. I think you need to play Knox.
Please say anything. There's one tight end I hope you say, and I want to see. I really hope you say him, but we'll see if you say him.
Oh,
well, I've got two other tight ends that I'm interested in. One is Knox. I mean, you attack Kansas City with tight ends. No Kincaid. I mean, it's just. I mean, he scored last week. It's just too good of a play. You just. I mean, they're without Amari Cooper likely, or even if he plays, playing with a cast on. You know that team is just banged up on offense, so. 3,500 against the Chiefs, which is such a good tight end matchup. I have no issues with it. Be different elsewhere. You know, this was the Cade Otton situation, you know, a couple of weeks ago, right? Where now I'm not saying Knox is going to score 30. I'm not saying that, but I am saying, you know, it's just a classic don't overthink it spot. So I like Knox a lot. And then the other guy I like is Jonnu. If you guys are all in on the Dolphins, I've been on Jonnu since preseason. I have so much Jonnu in best ball. He is just so perfect for what that offense wants to do, right? The yards after catch style of play, and Tua's really taking a liking to him because Tua wants to get the ball out quickly, and you know, Jonnu's just caught a lot of dump offs, and you know, he's really good yards after catch, always has been. Only has one touchdown this year, but that one touchdown game he scored 21 DK points. So if he finds the end zone, you know, he could be in for a really good game here. So I like Jonnu.
I like that call out, Maddie. And I think he's a, you know, when you're talking about if you're playing Tua, you know, to be able to get him, you know, on those Tua teams, I think makes a ton of sense. You know, we always like to target the tight ends who are linked to our quarterback, and, you know, great pivot off of, you know, what could be, you know, some teams. If people are playing Tua, they might go Knox, right? Just to get that value in there. And you could just be different there by getting a Jonnu, which makes a ton of sense. And I love that leverage. Kev, come in and talk about your $2,500 tight end that you want to target this week.
Well, I didn't say I thought Maddie was going to say it, like Davis Allen. Like, I was like, you know, we just, you know, Monday night happened and everything else. I thought, you know, he's the new starting tight end for the Rams. He's $2,500. I guess we're not doing it. He died after the one game slate.
Yeah. I mean, I considered him. I mean, he's fine. The Rams were in a trailing script that whole game, and he still only scored, what, like 4 points, 5 points?
Yeah, he saw 6 targets.
Yes, and they were all like within like 5 yards.
To be fair, I don't think they scored any. I mean, they didn't score any touchdowns in that game. What it was all field goals. Yeah, it was the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 6 targets, caught 5 for 34. I mean, he's averaging about 6 yards a catch. Like,
what? I mean, what does he need to do though? For I mean, what at $2,500 realistically? Like, what?
You just need him to score, which is, I mean, it is possible, but they get in tight, and it's always Cup, Puka, or Kyren. They rarely target. Like, even if Parkinson was $2,500, you know, I don't know. They just, the tight end in that offense is just never crushed outside of the random like 6 games that Higbee was the tight end one, you know, like a year and a half ago. Like, that was so random, but that offense has just never used a tight end, you know, and they don't really need to, because he's the fourth guy that they've got, you know. It's Kyren, it's Puka, and it's Cup. I think Knox has higher upside, and I think Johnny's got higher upside, and they're only like 1K more, so.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say it. You didn't say it, but I mean, I think Taysom's still in play at $4,500. The other tight end you guys already mentioned, you know, I don't have a whole lot else. I do think Kyle Pitts is super interesting. Again, the Broncos do a really good job of keep everything, you know, or shut down the outside. It's the inside. So this like could potentially be a spot for that lines up to be really good for Kyle Pitts, $4,800, and then, you know, Chelsea. I mean, Kelsey's back to just seeing a monster target share every single game. I mean, 12 plus targets almost every game in the last three. Scored 20 plus DK points each of the last 3 games. Obviously, he's in play, but as far as the cheap ones, but like I completely agree. Dawson Knox, the second that Dalton Kincaid got ruled out, and Dawson Knox is like actually like hashtag a good tight end. I think people were a little surprised when the Bills are the ones that drafted him, considering they just paid Dawson Knox a pretty decent contract right before they did that. But yes, $3,500 to Knox. I just think he's almost like kind of a free square. Just plug him in and move on. There's not a lot of reason. Yeah. And I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it this time. Like, see, like last time I was completely against it. I said all this stuff, went on this long rant, and I looked like an idiot, and I was wrong. And, you know, I can accept my L's, whatever. I was wrong. And I was definitely wrong about Kate Otten that week. So I'm not doing it this week. I'm not going out on that limb. I definitely think, you know, he is 100% in play. You know, I think other than that, like Juwan Johnson, I think you could maybe have a conversation about him this week. He just hasn't done a whole lot. I keep thinking that maybe they'll get him more involved because of the fact they're missing so many players, but can't do it. So that's probably what I'm looking at. Maybe A.J. Barner, too. He's $3,100 with Noah Fant once again out. That was something I was looking for so we could see if he was going to miss, but. The Seahawks just don't really utilize their tight end that much. I mean, I know Noah Fant at times has had a couple of good games, but
I mean, for tight end is so intriguing this week because like Kelsey, I could see becoming popular because of how, you know, other things that you can do with your lineups, like going cheap quarterback, going cheap wide receivers, and like it does kind of scare me to not have, you know, you could just be sitting there in the 3 p.m. window and like not having Kelsey and he's, you know, 25% owned or whatever, and like just shooting teams up the leaderboard because nobody else has really put it out of reach. I mean, you know, I really would want, you know, Knox to be sitting there with like 15 or, you know, something like that. Really, really need that touchdown because Kelsey could really, you know, just smash in this game with the production he's seeing. And he's only 6,300. Like we could end up being, you know, looking back and saying he's one of the best values on the slate. But yeah, I think Dawson for me just allows you to build, you know, so much more, but I definitely will be trying to find ways to get up there because he, you know, we know what Kelsey can do. I think the other, you know, Hunter Henry, I think is the other guy who, you know, he's 3,900 and it's kind of frustrating if you, you know, for those who, I don't know why you did, but if you did follow along for the Patriots and Bears game last week, that was, you know, definitely conquer. Austin Hooper was getting loose, you know, against that team. So it's just frustrating to see that, you know, they're running, you know, 12 personnel and he doesn't have just full control over that, but he's been pretty decent so far this year, and he's had more of a rapport with Drake May than Hooper, but Hooper's involvement just has me a little bit lower on him, but I could see him getting some steam as well too. Let's talk about defense, boys, before we, you know, get out for the people, build this lineup and get out for the people. Shout out to everybody who's rocking along with us live here on a Friday night for the Week 11 main slate here on the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. And as we talk about defense, boys, what's standing out here? I actually think there's some interesting defenses to talk about who are cheap, which is not the case that we've had over the past few weeks, at least not last week. Last week was kind of gross. You saw that be the case, but you know, Jets D I think will be probably extremely popular. The 2800 going against Anthony Richardson. That's why I thought it was a great leverage call there, Kev, to talk about Anthony Richardson. I think Denver stands out to me too at 2900. This is a defense that I'd been targeting early on in the year. So much, and Kirk Cousins has the propensity to, you know, turn the ball over there. They can make life hard for him. In Mile High, you know, I think the 3K range is fine, but definitely always want to look at, you know, the 3K and below range to get things going. I wish the defense was a little bit healthier, and obviously the matchup is not the best, but 2,400 for the Bears D, that has just been opportunistic all year. Like, yeah, if they allow points, so be it. But, you know, Jordan Love has turned the ball over ad nauseum this year. I think Josh Jacobs has a couple fumbles as well too, and they kind of pride themselves on being able, you know, to make some plays. They're 2400, they're at home. They'll probably be overlooked because people played them last week against the Patriots and they didn't really do much, but you know, could be my only exposure to that game is getting that defense. What say you, Maddie? What are you doing at defense this week?
Yeah, I like the Broncos. They're probably my favorite at 2900. At home against Atlanta. We saw Atlanta struggle last week against the Saints. And Kirk Cousins can always turn into a pumpkin at any time. And then from there, it's just taking shots on, you know, defenses that you mentioned. I like the Bears are interesting at home, 2,500. And then I also like 2,400. I also like anytime Steelers, 2,500 Steelers at home. I mean, yeah, sure, they're playing Baltimore, but I mean, it's not to say Lamar's never, you know, fumbled or thrown interceptions. So, Steelers at home at 2,500 is definitely in play.
Kev, what say you? What are you doing at defense?
Well, I already mentioned one on the Browns are 100% in play against the Saints. I do like them at $2,600. And then I completely agree with you, the Broncos, especially Broncos at home and Mile High. Love that. But, don't need to go too far down that road. Like, I think if you have the money to be able to pay up, there's a real good, like, I think playing the Lions, Packers, or Vikings are all 100% just smash plays if you can get up to them. The Vikings, yeah, obviously lead the league in sacks. They get a pressure on 29% of dropbacks, highest rate in the league. Will Levis and the Titans have allowed almost 14 fantasy points per game to DSTs this year, highest rate in the league. So, I mean, we saw it last week. Will Levis was sacked 7 times by the Patriots, who, haven't gotten pressure on anybody this year. And so, Will Levis just continually holding the ball, and not because he had a real turnover problem. Now he's just holding on to it, and teams are just actually teeing off on him. So, you know, Vikings are 100% in play. Like, they are a little more expensive. I don't necessarily love paying up for them. Packers, Caleb Williams has been sacked 15 times the last 2 games, and the Packers defense has been really good this year as well. So if you're wanting to pay up, like, I think it would be Lions, Vikings, and Packers would be the 3 that I would look at. I have zero understanding of why the Ravens are $3,400. Like, I just don't get it, but whatever. That's not for me to decide. But again, if I'm paying down, I think it definitely is the Browns and the Broncos. And the Browns feel kind of like the Patriots. I played like 60% Patriots last week and it paid off. The Patriots scored like 18 DK points last week. But I just really like the Browns. I think this is a little bit of a misprice, and I'm not really all that scared of that offense.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's a fun week, boys. It's a fun week to be able to build. I think there's a lot of directions to go that makes sense. I don't think there's a one path is the only way. So that's definitely a slate that we love talking about, to be able to give the people some things to think about as they build their lineups here heading into the weekend and heading into Sunday main slate. yeah, let's get ready to build this lineup, boys, in the Millie Maker. It's a fun time. Kev, it's been a while since you started off the lineup, so why don't you kick it off for the people?
All right. Yeah, we brought it up. Let's go Anthony Richardson.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Breece Hall.
I thought you were going to say Garrett Wilson. I already had him lined in.
Well, we might get that. Might get to that, too, if he gets back to me. He hasn't been picked.
Let's go Jennings. Get some San Fran exposure.
I'm going to go Hopkins.
I'm going to go Wilson.
Let's get interesting here. Well, let's play HN, you know, highest priced running back or cheapest running back. I think that offers a lot of upside, so get him in there.
All right, Dawson Knox, a little mini stack with Hopkins.
Love it. 4,200 left for flex and defense.
Broncos D.
Kev gets to close it out. Spot that he loves.
Wait, shouldn't it be you?
Putting Hopkins in the flex just because he's in the later game. For now, unless you have a running back.
Oh, not at that price. So $5,500 less wide receiver. Oh, perfect. Alec Pierce.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I saw that too. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that rounds it out. So we got an Indy Jets game stat coming at you guys live on the DJ Nation podcast, week 11 main slate. It's Anthony Richardson, Breece Hall, Devon Achan, Juwan Jennings, Alec Pierce, Garrett Wilson, Dawson Knox, and DeAndre Hopkins with the Broncos D. $100 left on the table. And enter that in, boys. And that is going to do it for the week 11 main slate breakdown here on the DJ Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Any final words for the people before we sign off, boys?
No, I think Jets, Colts, and Steelers, Ravens. Those are my top two game stacks of the week.
I love it.
Actually, that's just in the pod like that. Mine would be, like I mentioned at the top, I love the San Francisco and Seattle. I love the Geno side, and then the Dolphins and Raiders.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kev. I do like that Dolphins and Raiders game a lot. I think I'll have, you know, probably too much exposure to the Cleveland New Orleans game than I want, but also I do think that this KC Buffalo game, you know, even though the Vegas isn't projecting it there, I think that it offers a lot of upside with two, you know, high profile offenses. Hopefully people are locked into that game. There's only three in the afternoon slate, so that should be a fun one to watch. It's basically like an AFC championship preview that we're getting, you know, a couple weeks early here in week 11. So definitely fun slate to be able to break down with you boys, fun slate to be able to break down for the people. And that's going to do it for this week 11 main slate breakdown. We appreciate everybody who's rocking along with us live. Really appreciate it because of the fight that's going on as well, too. Apparently, Netflix was able to get their shit together a little bit. So for you guys catching that fight as well, but then rocking along with us, we really appreciate it. Signing off for the boys at Maddie D, Maddie 2v2, Maddie Gets Buckets at Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. The Godfather himself, you know him as Kevin Steele, Fantasy Rat 13 on Twitter and X is where you can find him, and me, Ryan Williams at Ryan_W. We will catch you guys next week for the week 12 main slate breakdown. We are only just a couple weeks away, 2 weeks away from the Thanksgiving slate breakdown, and we'll have two shows coming to you guys live for that. So definitely tune into next show. We'll have the full breakdown for you guys to be able to let you know what you can expect to hear on your podcast airwaves. But we're definitely excited for that. Until then, get out in the DFS streets, get this money, and we'll catch you guys next time. Peace. Who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're right, you know. Think you're right, you know. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.
do. You know who you're talking to.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.